An alleged murder and allegations of rape, a battle for the soul of not just a transport union, but a political party. A court judgment that has got far more implications for Ebonyi State and also for the nation at large. And not forgetting protests by women in Nigeria, even as the world celebrates the International Women's Day. These and more will get us talking right here on the show this very evening. A very good evening to you. It is 19 minutes gone past the hour of 8 o'clock. Welcome to the maiden edition of The Newsroom. Well, it's a Nigeria info program where, of course, we bring to you critical analysis of some of the biggest stories that have made the rounds in the past 7 or 8 days. My name is Ufoma Egbamono. Well, I will definitely not be doing the show all alone. I've got Nigeria Info's senior news editor, Algo Obo, right here in the building. Algo, good evening to you.
Shakumaku, eh?
This is not your normal Friday, Shakumaku. Okay, guys, not so much time to waste on the show. We need to get into the thick of the action. We've got our reporters right here in the studio. You get to meet them in a bit. But of course, like I did mention in my intro, this program is all about giving you, you know, all the backstory, all the analysis, everything you probably would not be able to get in a 5-10 minutes news bulletin. We will try to bring it to you right here on Nigeria Info, the nation's number one talk station. Every Monday, it starts from 15 minutes past the 6 o'clock hour. All right, let's get into the thick of the action. And our very first story is one, you know, that has got Lagos and Nigeria and possibly the whole world talking in the last 1 week. It has to do with 22-year-old Bamise Ayawola, who boarded a BRT from Aja going to Oshodi on the 26th of February. Well, she sensed trouble, sent messages to her friend. A week later, she was found dead at the Kata Bridge right here in Lagos. Well, the driver of the bus, Andrew Nice, has been arrested. He was arraigned in court last week, Friday. And I'm sure if you've been listening to Nigeria Info over the last couple of hours, you must have heard the Hard Facts anchor, Sandra Ezekwesili, you know, talk about that. But of course, we're going to go a lot deeper into that conversation. Well, the judge remanded him in prison for 30 days, so he'll be in prison at least till April the 11th. Lagos State Governor Babajide Sanwo-Olu says his administration is committed to safe transportation with BRT. He also promised that those involved in the alleged murder will face the full wrath of the law. Well, he did also give an advice. He told Lagosians that, you know, they should stop boarding bus BRTs without a light. However, the family of Ayawola has been calling for justice and speedy investigation. Her elder brother, Pelumi, told journalists that his sister's killer should never go unpunished. The man Olonwuka is still here. He was here on Hard Facts a few minutes ago. He's still here in the building. Emmanuel, good evening to you. Say that again.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, Emmanuel, you were at the family residence of Ayawola's. And to a large extent, I'm sure it must have been really heartbreaking getting to see the family in pain. Could you just give us an insight as to what it was like last week when you visited?
Okay, so all the way from the junction leading to the family house, I already found people with their hands crossed across their chest, you know, in mourning and sober mood even before getting close to the house. I already knew that this was the area. I've never been there before, but because of the mood in the area, I already knew that this is the area. Something was definitely wrong in this area. And getting to the family house, I was not wrong at all. It was all cloudy. Nobody was smiling. Everybody was just sitting down, you know, very, very sober. People just trying to not sound rude and not sound, not ill-treat the press. You know, a canopy was put outside the house for the press, you know, to actually sit down and feel a bit comfortable, though it was not a very good sight.
Like, obviously
you can't really just talk, you can't get to people, to even ask somebody to say, oh, please, can I talk to you about Bamise? It's very difficult because everybody's just like on the verge of breaking down. Mm. Everybody's just like on the verge of, oh, if I say one more word about Bamise, I'm going to collapse right here.
All right, so let's take it a step further. Since this incident came to light, a couple of other women, you know, have actually come out to accuse the man in question, the BRT driver, Andrew Nice, you know, of attempted rape or possibly rape. You know, and that has also generated a lot of conversation. You spoke to one of them. What exactly did Victoria Anoke tell you?
So Victoria, yesterday when we spoke, she was really down. She was really traumatized. You could tell. I made her, you know, I had to make her, because I had to find out the facts about the matter, and I have to be sure, because a lot of persons have punched hole in her statement. A lot of persons on social media are not really have really countered her statements. So I have to be sure as a journalist to be sure that what she actually put out there is actually the fact. Mm. And by the way of doing that, I had to like ask her to run me through the story all over again, which she did. And you know, it matched with what was online, you know. And then I had to ask her questions. Okay, how was this thing? It was traumatizing, but she was confident enough to answer those questions. And at the end of the day, I asked her, are you willing to testify in court? And she said yes, she's willing to testify in court if her security is guaranteed. That tells you that, okay, she's not just coming out. She's not just one of those persons chasing clout, so to speak, in social media days.
Because, of course, we know a lot of persons do that nowadays.
Exactly. So she's not one of those persons trying to chase clout. She has a career going on well for her. I kept asking myself, what, okay, does she have to lose? Or, you know, what interest does she have in this case? And by now, with my conversation with her yesterday, I can't really pinpoint any interest. So it's all on the police to actually follow up with these women that had actually come out, you know, invite them over, you know, get their statements and ask them to probably go through their statements over and over again and probably take their statement in and as evidence in this very matter, you know, if the statements prove to be credible. But so far, so good. From my own opinion, I think so far that these women have actually made a credible, have actually brave coming out and have really made a credible statement.
Right. So while this is going on, you were at the Lagos State Police Command headquarters, where the spokesperson for the command briefed media men and women. What can you tell? What's the update? I know it's a very fluid story.
Yes, yeah, so the police were very careful about commenting on the case because we actually know it's in court presently.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're very careful about it. But what they said and what they're standing on is that, yes, the possibility, because the last time we were in court, the family lawyer of the Bamise family had actually raised an issue and said that, hey, he doesn't want the focus to be on Andrew Nice. There might be other persons. There were other persons who boarded the bus. We have to clarify if those persons were actually accomplices of Andrew Nice, and we have to get them into custody. Mm. Don't throw all the spotlight on Andrew Nice. That he's been caught is not a reason why the matter should just be focused on him. Mm. Okay, we have to explore other options. And that was what the police were saying today, that they are going to explore those options. They are going to extend their investigation to ensure that if there are any accomplices, if there are possible persons out there who partook in the death of Bamise or have any contact, you know, or if this whole issue is coordinated, yes, in any way, they are going to get them into custody and persecute them as well.
All right, Emmanuel, stay here, because of course you've got a lot more to tell us on the show. Guys, just in case you tuned in, it is about 27 minutes past the 6 o'clock hour. My name is Ufuomai Igbamanu. I've got my senior news editor right here, Aogo Obo. He likes to go the Shakumaku route, whatever that means. I do not know. But this is the newsroom. It's the maiden edition, the very first edition of the program. And on the newsroom, we bring you a review and critical analysis of some of the biggest stories that have come your way in the course of the past week. All right. Moving on, because, of course, there's a lot to talk about on the show today. Moving on. Algo, last week also saw, let me use your words now, ruffle, you know, the fight in the National Union Road Transport Workers, NURTW. Well, he did, of course, start with alleged misconduct allegations against the man we popularly called MC Oluomo, who's, of course, Miss Liu Akinsonya, the Lagos State Chairman of the NURTW. URTW. Usually, I find it difficult pronouncing that name. I hope I'm not the only one. You know, allegations made against him from the national body, AOGO, and it led to his suspension. And of course, you know, that snowballed into something different. Emsola Omah put out a press conference last week and then said, you know what? Anything that they do for Abuja and any other place, you can sign on. I'm pulling out.
Yeah.
I'm taking everybody that is everybody in Lagos, and we don't want to be a part of the NURTW. Earlier today, we started seeing some, you know, conflicting press statements. First of all, last week, the Lagos State Government had to go ahead with, you know, the call from Emsola Omah and the NURTW in Lagos, and said, you know, they were taking over the Union Affairs and they were going to constitute a park management committee for the garages and, of course, the parks in Lagos. But today we saw some conflicting, you know, press statements. Oh, go and collect money. Oh, don't go and collect money and all of that. Earlier today on Morning Crossfire, when Memo actually had that topic, you know, and quite a number of the respondents did talk about the fact that, hey, these guys are really not totally out of the roads. It's just that they're not wearing their uniforms, you know, and all of that. So
it's interesting because
where are we now? Because it looks like there's a state of anarchy, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, this would have been the first test to know whether or not they were working or not working.
But
we've seen and had reports from a number of people who are the PACs who have actually paid union dues to these people, the NURTW. So correctly, they're not wearing the uniforms. But we don't have an idea right now of who is in charge. One guy sent a message, I think it was during Sandra's show, that if you except whether to lose a tooth and get your eye blackened, don't pay the money. But I mean, seriously speaking, if the Lagos State Government was looking for an opportunity to rein in the NURTW, this would have been the perfect opportunity.
Because a lot of Lagosians believe, and I dare say authoritatively, that they could be a menace, like serious one.
Yes. You know, when the governor of Lagos State, then he was the candidate, came into the studio during our countdown show, and then we'd ask him the question about the downfalls, what to do with them. So the downfalls are not altogether bad, but it's because of what the union does with it that gives it that ugly outlook. And we said, are you going to ban downfalls? He said, no. He said, just hold on. We're 3 years down the line and it hasn't happened yet. So another colleague of mine had pointed out to me the Oyo State situation where this sort of thing played out. And he provided the opportunity for the governor of Oyo State there, Seyi Makinde, to take control over the system. And then even though the guy auxiliary, who is the guy in charge in Oyo State, was also part of the NURTW, but now it's a lot more compact.
It's more organized, you know, as opposed to the...
Yes.
See, guys, I grew up in Okoko, Tipa's Garage, in case you live around that area. I spent a lot of my teenage age, you know, over there. I can tell you for a fact how these guys operate. Maybe let's leave that for another day.
So the big question, which a lot of people are asking, whether there will be a clash if the NURTW, as it is now, haven't suspended Emsola Omah, the new guy, the new kid on the block now. Will he go ahead when the PAC committee for Lagos is set up? Will he clash with that one? But the police station, I'm sure Mark will tell us about.
Yes, you know, we're actually coming to that. Uh-huh. You know, one of the things the Lagos State Police Command did, kudos to them, by the way, you know, last week was to put in some preventive measures, you know, assign police officers to these parks, you know, to forestall whatever anticipated clash might have been. And of course, the PRO, the spokesperson of the police, you know, actually talked about it in the press briefing today. Manuel, you were there.
Yes.
What exactly was he saying?
So the key word he said was increased visibility
of the police
okay. at these parks and garages. Increased visibility of the police. So it's not just the police patrolling anymore. They have to be more visible. They have to be more present because they feel like at any point, they feel like we're sitting on a what's that word now? Explosive or
gunpowder?
Gunpowder, so to speak. Yeah. So they don't want to take chances. And the PPRO, actually said today that they are dispatching more men, you know, to these places, to these garages, to ensure that, you know, the place is safe. No, with the presence of the police, they feel it can forestall order. Mm. So we saw it happen last week. You know, there were no issues. We don't have any issues. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a lot more tension this week,
because of course one of the press statements that was later denied earlier today from the NERTW, you know, talked about the fact that they should not mind, you know,
the patrols.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a lot more tension and a lot of persons are confused as to what should we do and what should we not do, and that is making a lot of the police more concerned about the next line of action, the next step things could go, and in a bid to ensure that everything was in order and Lagos State remains safe. Because I'll tell you for a truth, if anything should happen, we saw a video that came out about a clash between NURTW.
It's always messy. You honestly do not want to be around the area when it gets messy like that. Yes. But I'll go. Let's look at it from another angle again. We did confirm from INEC that of course the NURTW is actually, you know, part of its transportation chain. Yeah. You know, during elections, so they actually signed MOUs with the NURTW. You know, who help to move around election materials.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the question: all of this drama between National and Lagos, is it a pointer to 2023?
The only pointer I see is that they get those materials early enough.
Now, guys, being diplomatic right here. But
I mean,
guys,
we've covered elections over and over again. And we've seen the embarrassing pictures of voting not starting because the downfalls haven't reached the polling units on time. So if it will bring the polling materials and we begin election exactly 8 a.m., then I will be okay with it.
All right, guys. I'm sure we will still this week on. We'll still talk about the NURTW drama because it's a developing story. And trust the newsroom of Nigeria Info. We will keep you updated on that one. Let's move on now to story three. Of course, last week, women across the world celebrated the International Women's Day. Break the bias. That was the theme of the celebration across the world. But in Nigeria, we saw a bit of twist to it. You know, we saw protests across the country from Lagos to Abuja, you know, to Rivers State, Port Harcourt. Almost everywhere in the country, women came out, you know, to make protests. But they had reasons. That's because a few days before, the National Assembly, I'm laughing, but it's not a laughing matter, because I remember Algo when we were you know, following that debate at National Assembly, I remember Algo saying, see these people, they don't even know what's in the vote. You know, and it turned out, you know, to be that way, because you look at the five gender related bills that the National Assembly turned down and you ask yourself, well, in case you don't hear Igbo, what I actually said, their hair correct, right. You know, that's you know, the kind of feeling we had in the newsroom following that conversation. But the good news is that after that protest, three of those five bills, you know, were actually overturned. So the House of Reps, by the way, the only part of the National Assembly that did that, you know, the bills are on citizenship, indigenous rights, and 35% affirmative action. And of course, let's now join our National Assembly correspondent, Fidel Osegale, who's joining us all the way from Abuja. Fidel, good evening to you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Good evening.
Very good. Fidel, you're welcome to the newsroom right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I've just got one question for you. Could you just give us a sense of what the protests by women looked like at the National Assembly last week?
Yeah, thank you very much. That protest started with the visit by the wife of the president to the National Assembly, the Senate particularly. You know, we didn't know what was to come because she came barely 24 hours before the voting on those bills, you know, started. But now it is getting clearer. And of course, they eventually turned down all the five gender bills. And that goes a long way to tell us a few things. One, it is either the female lawmakers did not lobby their male counterparts, because from what we get from civil society, women groups who stormed the National Assembly penultimate week, then all through last week, you know, they did not, they said they lobbied the lawmakers, but they turned around and, you know, voted against those bills.
Mm.
But look at that. I listened to the last comment you made before you asked the question. If you understand the workings of the National Assembly, it is not the way you have said it.
Okay.
First off, you talked about citizenship. Yes, that is understandable, because if a Nigerian marries an outsider, you know, a non-Nigerian, the woman automatically becomes a citizen of Nigeria. And of course, we know that is replicated in our laws, because once you get married, for instance, I use the case of Grace Bent, Senator Grace Bent, who's from the Southwest, eventually elected to become a lawmaker in the Senate to represent Adamawa State.
Okay.
That's a done deal. But it is not the same when a woman who marries a foreigner, the husband does not automatically become Nigerian.
Mm.
I think that is workable. But if you talk about 35%, that would not see the light of day, first off. Because if you say 35%, yes, you can do it in line, or rather in form of a policy. A governor can come out and say, I want 35 commissioners. Out of these commissioners, I want 20 to be female or women. Nobody has a query of that. If a president becomes president, I want, out of 35 ministers, for instance, I want 30 to be females. Nobody will have a query with that or a question with that. But for you to say elective positions, that's not going to work. What that means, by extension, is that you have to tell all the political parties, we have 109 senators, three representing each state.
Mm.
Which political party will you now tell, make sure that one seat, which seat, that will be a breach
of some people's rights.
Yes. So you can't do that.
Oh, okay, Fidel. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, time not so on our side. But thank you very much for joining us on the newsroom this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Back to you, Aogo, on this particular issue. Now, Fidel has talked about the fact that, you know, this might be a little difficult. But here's the other side of the argument. It's not easy, we agree. But for you to be able to achieve some of these things, you have to be intentional about, you know, achieving these things. You have to find ways to create these enabling laws to make these things happen. So we can't just go off and say, well, it's impossible.
Exactly. And which is the point, NOB, we spoke with her on Friday, together with Abiola Kiode Folabi, who are the people
championing the protest.
Exactly, at the Occupy National Assembly. And she says, you cannot have 100 million women not have a voice at the National Assembly.
Mm.
I mean, you cannot have 100 million men speak on behalf of not just themselves, but also the women.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense if you talk of inclusivity, because democracy is democracy for everyone, not just for the men,
yep.
Which is the reason why they're staying there. And these are some of the hardcore women you can find. I mean, NOB was president of the University of Just 1989-1990. To be student union
president. I wasn't 10 yet then.
To be student union president in the military era as a woman then.
Exactly. It was kind of if you're old enough to remember, yes. It was tough.
Abiola Kiode Folabi was PRO, University of Ife then. So these are women who have said, we don't only want 3 for 5, which the House of Reps is going to vote on.
We want all 5.
We want 5 for 5. And just finally, in what they're saying that they we need to do, especially for the women. And it's a great point you make in terms of having women in those spaces. We have about 19 states in this country where they have no women in the state assembly.
Mm.
Not one. The men sit down for the committees that have women and decide
what should happen.
You don't have a single woman. You know, so you're right. So we have to make an intentional attempt to correct this anomaly. And I also think the men will sit up if you have more women in parliament, because some of the ridiculous things that happen and they say, they probably will look when the women will say no.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can't say that.
Yes, it's 42 minutes past the 6 o'clock hour. The newsroom is the program. It comes your way every Monday from 15 minutes past 6 o'clock, just after the news. And of course, it's where we bring you critical analysis of the biggest stories from the previous week. My name is Ufuoma Igbamunu. I've got Aogo Obo right here on the show. Remember, you can actually watch this live on Facebook. Just go to Nigeria Info 993. That is our Facebook handle. Or go to YouTube, Nigeria Info FM, and you can, of course, watch us live right here. Quickly, let's take a few of your thoughts, people, and see what you have to say on some of the stories we've shared. Maybe two or three calls, and then we can focus on at least two more big stories. There's still the Eboy judgment and the APC leadership tussle that doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. 0700-993-993-993. Let's talk. Hello. Good evening. The newsroom on Nigeria Info.
Good evening, my brother.
Good evening to you.
This is Shegun calling from Ikoyi.
Welcome, Shegun.
Thank you very much. My take is on the National Union thing.
Okay.
These people that are talking, I saw them today. Actually, they are now wearing uniform.
Mm.
But they are collecting money. What I'm talking is about Oyinbo now.
Okay.
And the police there are talking about, oh, let me just say, the people that are there to, you know, monitor the thing, they were collecting some token from them. So how is it going to work?
So basically, really, it's just a question of nothing is happening.
I'm telling you.
The ban is just on paper.
Yes, actually.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Hello. Good evening, Nigeria Info.
Hello. My name is Obina, calling for first time.
Obina, welcome to the newsroom.
I love this deal. I'm just praying if this deal goes through, because a lot of corruption will be reduced.
What deal are you talking about?
The women...
Okay. Bills. Okay. Okay.
A lot of yes and no will be there. At least they will help us checkmate them in some area. Almost most areas where these men are just OES members. They are just OES members. You know? Anyway, if they want to use Nigeria money, everybody will come OES.
Sorry about that. Looks like we've lost the call there. The newsroom on Nigeria Info. Let's take one more call. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, Foma.
Hi, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
This Friday from Gwelere.
Welcome Friday. You know Tipa's garage well, Abi.
Yeah. For my thank God that you know between Okoko and Iyanoba. They said that they are going to appoint police in all the park and garages.
Mm.
And for my, you know that between Iyanoba and Okoko, it's a short distance.
Yes.
And between them, you have more than 4-5 bus stops that all these Agbero are collecting money.
Mm.
How are you going to do it? Are you good? Because before Okoko and my two, you have almost 20 bus stops.
I know that route very well. Very, very well. Okoko, PPL, Cassidy, Alabarago,
Lasugate, PPN. And you see between that place, do we have enough police, former? If they are putting the police in all the major bus stops, all the garages, what of all these small bus stops? How are we going to do it?
Big question, then. Big question, Friday. And thank you very much for joining us on the newsroom. Quickly, let's move ahead now. And so much to talk, so little time. Okay, the Ebonyi State Court judgment last week got all of us talking. I think that was Wednesday, was it? Thursday. Well, Governor David Umahi says he remains the governor of the state despite the appeal from the Federal High Court on Tuesday, which sacked him from office. Now, in case you were in Planet Mars or Jupiter and you don't have an idea what the story is about, Justice Inyang Ekwo of the Federal High Court in Abuja actually opened a new vista in Nigeria's political landscape. He ordered that the governor, his deputy, and of course some other legislators who defected from the PDP to the APC, that they should vacate their office. Well, of course, the PDP reacted quickly, nominated, you know, Enwa Iduma, and of course Fred Udogo as the governor and deputy. And as of this morning, INEC actually, you know, said that they had not gotten the certified true copy of the judgment. We actually plan to have one of the INEC official on the show, you know, to actually give us a sense of the issues from their own angle. Unfortunately, that was not possible. But let's start from Umahi's outburst. He was I was livid. I was angry. You know, I had a back and forth with one of our colleagues, you know, who was trying to defend it a little bit. And a couple of days later, the governor realized that he had gone way out of line,
yeah.
came back and apologized.
Exactly. He was on governor-like in his response.
Yep.
Huh? You know, but one of the most fascinating things I've heard in the back and forth about the raging debate about whether a judge can unseat a governor
or cannot unseat
is first and foremost is this abominable ingredient of our democratic experience, which is defection. People moving from one party to the other party. It's now become a major.
It's just outrageous.
Moral, you know, it's everything you can think bad.
So you can be in the APC in the morning,
yeah.
PDP in the afternoon,
yeah.
APC in the evening,
yeah.
and then PDP the next yes. morning. It's madness.
This will go to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, people point to you know, precedents where this has happened in the past, and the Supreme Court said, look, there is no penalty for defection. The chance for us to have put a penalty for defection came with the Constitutional Amendment. But
yep, the Electoral Act. You know,
and even with the Constitutional Amendment, the lawmakers kicked it away. They didn't even think twice. You know, you put a penalty. If you defect, you lose your seat in the Constitution. Where, you know, the first where it has always
of course they will kick it out because it affects them somehow.
Yes.
Okay, let's leave the Ebony madness. Apologies for using that, but that's the only way I can actually describe what actually happened there.
Yeah.
You know, the governor actually also accused the judge of possibly, you know, doing a hatchet job. I think that was the words you know he actually used. And we've heard, you know, these allegations come up over and over again. And the question would be, where does the judiciary stand in all of this?
Mm. Big question. And this is a litmus test for them. But I think from the time we get to the Supreme Court, then the real question will be answered by them. People have commended the judge, saying that they've praised him and commended him for what is called judicial activism.
Mm. Okay, quickly away from that, because we do not have so much time on our hands. The drama in the APC. Some people called it a palace coup last week. My Malabuni, you know, Abubakar Bello, and all that drama. Who's the acting chairman of the party? You know, who's not? Who's going to conduct the convention? And then the twist from INEC towards the end of last week, where they said, you know what? We don't know you. We don't know you, Abubakar Bello. The only person we know is the secretary, Akpan Odoede, mm-hmm. and the chairman that we know. If they don't sign this supposed neck meeting that they're supposed to have this week, actually, I think it's supposed to be on Thursday, the 17th,
Thursday. Right.
That we don't know about that. But some APC members have also queried INEC and said, hey, it's our party. In our constitution, we can as well hold whatever meetings we want to hold.
Yeah.
What's INEC's own?
Yeah. And this is what some people have said is the self-destruct button the APC has pressed. I mean, Mimala Buni has health challenges. So he went abroad and he said, as I'm leaving in acting capacity, Sani Bello, governor of Niger State, takes over.
Mm.
And
some have suggested that letter is really not genuine. So well, it's,
unfortunately,
it's a lot.
If he had come out and said, I'm acting in the stead of Mimala Buni, it would have been an easy thing. But he came out together with Nasser El-Rufai and called it a coup of some sort.
And that's why we have all the drama we have that, of course, ensured that the president had to put out that statement yesterday and, you know, warn all of them. Well, there's a lot coming from that drama. Trust me, we'll definitely talk about it next week, because the next meeting is supposedly this week. Convention is 26th of March. So watch out for that story. The newsroom will be bringing all of that. Finally, we've got about 3 more minutes to the end of the show. Last week, Friday, the Federal Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, another key agencies, raided several illegal loan app firms in Ikeja. I'm sure at least one person listening to the show right now must have received a text, received a message or a call about one of your contacts or one of your friend that is owing money, that is a fraudster. Man, that thing is just madness. Our reporter Precious Nnenna Okun is in the building. Precious was a part of that raid led by Babatunde Irukera, the FCCPC Executive Vice Chairman. Nnenna, we heard that as much as 800 people are in a building sending texts and calling people. It's not a laughing matter. How did they cope?
Okay, so on Friday, the FCCPC led other key agencies such as the ICPC, the Human Rights, CBN, and others to a place in Ikeja, or Pebbi to be precise, to raid illegal loan apps. And when we got to the first building, what we saw, the number we saw was alarming. So it was over between 500 young people. It was they were over 500 of them there, and the place was very stuffy, very hot. And then the way it was partitioned, when you get there initially, you think it's a CBT, a jam CBT center.
so that's where all of that drama is, because all the text messages we get, all the calls we get, yes, that's where it's coming from.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Precious, we do not have so much time on the show. We have to end the show right here, but most likely we'll talk about it next week on the newsroom. Guys, my name is Ufome Egbamuno. I've done this with Aogo Obo and, of course, Precious Nneno Okon and Emmanuel Onwuka. The newsroom will be back next week, 6:15. Bye-bye.